This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. All this week on Vermont Edition, we're featuring interviews with the U.S. Senate candidates. And today our guest is independent candidate Jerry Trudell. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So just to start off today, give our listeners a brief look at your biography. What would you like them to know about your career?
Well, I have had a mixed career. Check out my art on Jerry Pilot 2016 on Instagram. I'm a pilot, aerial photographer. I also am a Getty Images contributor. I specialize in aerial photography of Vermont, New York, San Francisco, and Lake George. I published posters, a series of posters for Killington Resorts, and I had at one point a note card series in over 100 stores in the state of Vermont. That was, of course, before the big bank melt. Now, the other part of my career is volunteerism. I have it's right on my website and in my resume. I have done a lot of community service, make a long story short. But let's keep this short now and move on from there, because I don't really want to spend too much time on me. I'd rather spend more time on the issues, and there's only a few minutes here. So let's go with that.
You mentioned your website, jerrytrudell4senate.com.
Correct.
A lot of great information there that folks can go to and learn more about your candidacy. At the website, you say the number one issue facing Vermonters is the economy.
Yeah.
And you address this in a number of ways. Mm-hmm. One is to call for a statewide public transportation system.
Which I've been plugging for years, by the way.
So what do you have in mind?
Well, about the statewide public transportation system? I've actually been discussing this with the director of rural community transit to develop my proposal. What I'd like to do is to finance a shuttle, a Route 7 shuttle from St. Albans down to Bennington, and then do the Route 15 loop, and then expand rural community transit's budget so that they can expand their services.
So this would be mostly bus-oriented?
This would be, you know, bus, minivan, rural applications. You know, there's rural community transit as much as there is mass transit for urban inner cities. It's a myth that public transportation doesn't belong in the country. As a matter of fact, Vermont, on average, Vermonters travel twice as far, and they're spending around, according to the American Automobile Association, an average of between $700 and $800 a month at the rate of 41 cents a mile to drive 49 miles a day. So Vermonters are transportation challenged, and transportation is the second largest expense of the average household. The top third of the population take transportation for granted, and that happens to also include the policymakers. But I've been out there on this issue, and there is a lot of support for this. Now, the other issue I also have been promoting for years is that people have direct solar assistance instead of the corporations and the developers and the banks, which are the only people benefiting from the current paradigm that's in place now. I would like farm, home, and small business to have the funding and the ability to retrofit their homes so that they can benefit directly from solar.
So you want those folks to be able to get grants in order to achieve that goal?
Grants, low-interest loans, whatever it takes.
And that would be a decentralized energy system.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Distributed. Which is actually more efficient. And is far more beneficial to Vermonters and has a much lower impact on the Vermont environment. Because right now what we're doing is we're popping in all these solar farms and tearing up our ridge lines, which is, you know, fragile habitat. And I believe that's actually unnecessary. What we do need to do is decentralize and wire ourselves up that way.
You also at your website talk about the need to have a massive infrastructure project to rebuild roads and bridges.
That's right.
Part of your transportation initiative.
Yeah, this would be nationwide. Obviously, we are the poorest rich country in the world. We're falling apart. There are thousands of articles that have been written over the past 10 years about our crumbling infrastructure. So we need to rebuild America. It's that simple. It's a consensus. And at the same time, I think statistics show that this is becoming the number one issue. There's a lot of resonance about that. We hear more and more people talking about it because they drive down the road. They experience it from their personal experience. You know, their front end is torn up because the condition of the roadway, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, I think I've made my point. So let's move on.
Well, how much money would that cost and how would you pay for it?
Well, first of all, I would obtain seed money. How much would it cost? I think that to begin, you're talking about the statewide public transportation system?
And this whole public infrastructure, rebuilding roads and bridges, this is going to be a pretty expensive project.
Over a 5 or 10 year time. It's similar to what's already being called for on the national level by both candidates, actually, have said the same thing. They want to rebuild. They're calling for hundreds of millions of dollars. I would say I would agree with them that we need that substantial type of an investment in our infrastructure, which will also get the sector of the economy going, the heavy manufacturing with steel, concrete, et cetera, which has been losing out on this recession we've had lately.
Also at your website, you say that Senator Leahy betrayed the voters' trust by supporting Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders for president. Now, Leahy says he made that endorsement very early in the process. He made that commitment to Hillary Clinton more than 2 years ago.
I know.
So how is that betraying the public trust?
I'm glad you asked. First of all, what I want to do is I'm going to quote Vermonters who I've interviewed, which are also on my website. So if you doubt the veracity of my claim, the betrayal of Bernie Sanders, a lot of voters like myself were disappointed with the early endorsement of Hillary Clinton. He served our state well for a long time, but it's time for someone else. Another quote, was highly disappointed in his behavior and not backing his fellow senator. I will not be voting for him again this year. Third quote, it goes against the will of Vermonters. He has also done a lot of good things for this state, but it's time for some fresh blood. Now, these are quotes from Vermonters speaking. This is not Jerry Trudell. When I went out and got my signatures, I had lots and lots of feedback from voters on Senator Leahy. That's not the only thing. Now, he's trying to play it down, obviously, and you are too. He's trying to get ahead and around that issue, but he knows darn well, and so do astute political scientists know, the effect of his early endorsement on the influence, because he is one of the most influential men in the Senate. He's got buddies there. Look, this is no joke. So anyway, I think it's appalling. I think there's no excuse. It's nothing more than political cronyism, which it's time to put a stop to. Okay?
I'm certainly not trying to play it down.
I know you're not.
I'm just suggesting that perhaps Senator Leahy feels that Hillary Clinton is a better candidate than Bernie Sanders. Isn't he entitled to that belief?
He's entitled to that opinion. But he owes the voters of Vermont his support for what they want. That's what he owes them, aside from his opinion.
All right. Let's take a look at the EB-5 program, that you want to take a look at.
Yeah.
That federal EB-5 program has been at the center of the alleged fraud case up in the Northeast Kingdom. Senator Leahy says this program should not be renewed unless there are further reforms in the program. What's your position on this program?
On the issue or on his position?
On both.
Okay, let's start with Senator Leahy, who's on the public record as saying he first time he heard about this was earlier this year in the Vermont Digger article. He was interviewed. To me, that's an admission that there was absolutely no oversight. None. Zippo oversight since 2012. This is simply inexcusable. Inexcusable, inexcusable. Now, those of you who don't know it, Senator Patrick Leahy has been the biggest champion of the EB-5 program since its inception. Obviously, now he's trying to get ahead of that, and he's saying, well, we're going to end the program if. Well, I'm saying we're going to end the program anyway, and I'll tell you why, because there are two other reasons why, other than Senator Leahy. One is the massive abuse taking place across the country. In New York City, in The Real Deal, there was an article, they're building luxury housing that they don't need with EB-5 money. This is ridiculous. But last but not least, it's a wide open door for anyone who might be a nefarious character, member of a mafioso, to buy their way into this country, or even worse, a well-funded terrorist. This, for those of you who are just learning about the EB-5 program, what it is, it's an immigrant visa program in which you can buy your way into this country with no process other than, hey, here's the dough. So that's what I think about EB-5. Now, I got to say, the Newport Crater, which is what they're calling it, that is appalling. That, You know, they didn't even have a single architectural drawing there. Okay, they did not have a shred of a plan. All they had was a public relations scheme called the Newport Renaissance. And so what did they do? They go in and they demolish almost half of the downtown, creating displacement, disruption of businesses and residences. I mean, that's like, in addition to the money, what we have here is a physical result of this scandal, which is inexcusable. So I'm saying, let's do something about Newport, Vermont. What do you say to that, Senator Leahy? What should we do about this crater now that we've got one? Should we build a swimming pool?
Well, do you think it is Senator Leahy's responsibility to provide the oversight for that program?
Yes, I do. Because I'll tell you why. Because he claims credit for all of that federal money he brings into this country. That's what politicians do. They claim credit to make themselves look good, and you can't have it both ways. Either you're claiming credit for a program or you're against the program.
So Senator Leahy, as you are well aware, has more seniority than almost every other member of the U.S. Senate. And down in Washington, seniority usually means power. Mm. If that's the case, why should Vermonters reject Leahy?
Well, other than the aforementioned issues, his classic 20th century pork barreling, squandering the tax dollars, flying F-35s around in the sky, zoom, zoom, zoom. I tell you, that's nothing more than joyriding, and it's a pure and simple waste. Now, to get to the point, what we need to do is we need wise investment in what we need. That's what we need. Okay. Now, regarding Senator Leahy's tenure, the underlying issue is term limits, and that's something else I'm going to push for, because there's pluses and minuses to everything. But when you have an entrenched power broker like this, it reminds me of Robert Moses down in New York City. Too much power is not good for the public.
So what kind of term limits would you like to see put into place? How many terms should a member of the U.S. Senate serve?
Well, that's a good question. I would say 2 terms max. But again, a public discussion should begin on this. And, of course, I will help begin this public discussion if the voters. Let me say this also, those of you who are listening. The last time I ran in a presidential election, I got 10,818 votes, which is twice as many as the next other third-party candidate. It was actually the Green Party. I had spent no money. All I did was send out press releases, was virtually ignored, but then I did get an interview in Vermont Public Television. So that one interview or on the debate, I'm sorry, got me 11,000 votes. So what I'm saying to you is very simple. Check my website, call the hotline, help me out now. Spread the word. Word of mouth is still the most powerful form of advertising. So please help me in my campaign if any of this means anything to you, because I'm voting for you. Okay, I'm voting for the public. That's who I'm voting for.
What's your position on gun control? For instance, expanding the background check system to include all gun sales. Would you support that?
Well, I would. I think a background check is common sense. I would like to point out, though, that we don't have a problem in Vermont. Vermont is the second lowest crime rate in the country. Most people in Vermont hunt, that use guns, hunt to bring more food to the table. So gun violence doesn't seem to be a problem in Vermont. Now, there is domestic violence. That's a separate but related issue. But, you know, people are hollering up, as usual, the politicians are trying to use this as a political football to get elected. That's what they're doing. Do they really care about this? You know, I have to say I'm a bit of a skeptic about that. But I do support common sense solutions that are actual solutions. What I don't support is political grandstanding on an issue and phony solutions that don't work and take away our rights.
So where does the idea of having universal background checks, is that a phony solution or a
no,
real
that,
one?
That's I think that makes some sense, background
how,
checks.
How about banning semi-automatic assault weapons?
Well, that might make sense too. But I have to say what I'd like to do, if I had my druthers, I'd take a look at the whole issue. I'd look at the black market. We'd try and trace the money, and we'd try and spend more resources on tracking these gangs, because that's the real problem here in areas where there's an excess of gun violence. The irony is that if you legislate, it doesn't affect the black market. So what do I ask you? What are we going to do about the black market for guns? That's what I'd like to know. Maybe we should have them interdicted at the border because, you know, they do come to Vermont, purchase guns, and go down to New York City. And that's not a good thing. So, you know, I do take the issue seriously, put it that way.
Let's look at the issue of terrorism. I'm curious, what are your thoughts about the growth of ISIS and whether or not this group poses a security threat to the United States?
Well, I can't say that I know for sure that it does not pose a threat. I think our own mistakes in foreign policy also pose a threat. You know, creating a power vacuum, which is what we did when we invaded Iraq, is the root cause of this problem. But I think the real solution to the problem of global terrorism is to build cooperative efforts between nations, to chase the money, not these quack cure solutions that politicians are, you know, like to promote so that they can get elected. You know, it's the politics of fear.
And the situation in Syria is also...
It's a civil war. And obviously, we have been, if anyone looks into this, we have been supplying proxies, which may have also included ISIS, to fight the Assad, who is Russian-backed. So this is a complicated, stupid mess, but it is a civil war. And we're on record as being against the current regime and against the Russians. I'm still almost called them the Soviets, you know. But, so that's gotta stop.
I want to come back to a domestic issue, and that is back in March, President Obama nominated Judge Merrick Garland to the United States Supreme Court. But Senate Republican leaders have refused to take up that nomination. Should the Senate vote on this nomination this fall, and would you vote for him?
Well, I haven't taken a close look at his record, but after I did, I would consider voting for him if I had the opportunity to. So we need a Supreme Court, and it shouldn't be subject to political maneuverings.
Just one last thing. What's an issue that we haven't discussed so far that you feel it's really important for listeners to know your position on?
Well, the economy is my number one issue. Now, okay, let's touch on a few other things that are Senator Leahy related. The latest agriculture bill, I am told by my agricultural advisor, hurts small and medium-sized farmers because it ends direct payments in favor of crop insurance. Now, the other thing is, and along with my energy platform, I would like to see CalPower power 50,000 households in this state, which it could do. And by organizing and setting up co-ops, which is not rocket science. There have been agricultural co-ops set up since day one. We need to set up co-ops, and this, of course, solves the problem of manure disposal, and so it's a real win-win. So, you know, these are things I did want to – I'm glad I had a chance to touch on. So, yes, any other questions or follow-up?
Well, once again, we want our listeners to know if you'd like to learn more about Jerry Trudell's campaign – go to his website, JerryTrudellForSenate.com. Jerry, we really appreciate you coming in and talking with us today.
I appreciate my 10 minutes of fame, and I thank you very much for an excellent interview. I give you an A+. I'd vote for you. How's that?